You're listening to Muse Live, anytime, any place, any show. Featuring the one and only Muse.
Thanks for tuning in to Muse Live. I'm your host, Thomas Hunt, and episode 2 of Loki has officially released, giving us insights, crazy twists, and some interesting hidden lore if you know where to look. Today we're going to be breaking down the episode and looking at all of the hidden details that you may have missed. Let's get into it. So we first open with Loki going on this kind of I suppose TVA mission because the Minutemen were killed by some mysterious hooded figure that keeps showing up in the series. Killed by some mysterious hooded figure, who they were summoned into this like medieval tent, and the mysterious hooded figure lured them into there and killed them all. And I theorized last week that this was Lady Loki. And we have confirmation now that this is indeed Lady Loki. But it's not Loki. It isn't Loki, because Loki is a guy's name. So it's not Loki. It is Sylvia Laufey's daughter. Instead of Loki Laufey's son, it's Sylvia Laufey's daughter. I'm gonna have to get used to saying Laufey's daughter, because it doesn't really roll off the tongue as easily as Laufey's son does. Or maybe I just have more experience saying Loki Laufey's son. But it appears that is her name. If you look at the end credits, which are packed with details, a massive amount of details, you'll be able to see that her paper shows up as Sylvia Laufey's son, as a variant of Loki. And we also see her face reveal in the episode at the very end, of course, and it is played by Sofia DiMartino, so I did totally call that, and I am not trying to brag at all. But I'm really loving this series, partly because it's just awesome, and also tiny because I'm calling a lot of things that happened. Essentially what Sofia DiMartino's character, Sylvia, is trying to do is she's trying to bomb the sacred timeline. So she sets up a series of traps for our heroes and lures them into the traps. And she finally sets off the trap, and we finally realize what her plan is, and that it's to bomb the sacred timeline. So they go through all these things. Loki and Mobius discover that she's been hiding out in, like right before disasters, that would wipe out the entire town. So you could do essentially whatever you wanted; it wouldn't matter because they are. It would cause no ripple in the time stream because those people are already dead either way. And so that they won't be able to run and tell, like, you know, Bob next door. They would be able to tell Bob next door, but Bob next door would die too because of the coming thing. They wouldn't, tell someone on the other side of the globe that, hey, something crazy was going on. So showing up a few moments before a disaster and kind of living in that space and escaping and hopping from time to time, using that so there would be no variant energy detected by the TVA, which is a major loophole in their security. And so Loki discovers this, and obviously there are several hilarious hijinks. I would recommend going and watching the YouTube, going and watching it on Disney Plus. If you can't watch it on Disney Plus, I would watch it on maybe MyFlixer or alternatively on YouTube. YouTube, you could do a YouTube reaction. Plenty of people have those up, and again, it's not the full episode, but I would recommend going and watching it. So if you really want to get the full 50 minute, which, by the way, I'm sorry, I have to take a second to acknowledge this. It is the longest show on Disney Plus. Each episode is 50 minutes, and I was worried that they were going to pull a Bad Batch and just have the first episode be longer, and then the rest of them be like 15 minutes, 20 minutes, like they did with the Bad Batch, which had a 70 minute opener, which is a massive opener, and it blew my mind because originally I thought all the episodes were going to be like that, and then I thought about it, and I was like, there's no way they're keeping this going. And true enough, it's like 15-minute to 20-minute episodes. Loki, however, Loki is maintaining the 50-minute runtime each episode, and I am loving it. This series is amazing. The design is beautiful. All of the crazy architecture in the TVA, it is just mwah, beautiful. It's a work of art. And someone who worked on it, I can't remember who's the director, he recommended just pausing it and looking around. I'm gonna pause a moment from the episode, and I'm gonna make that my screensaver on my computer, because it is just so incredibly beautiful how much detail and design there is put into this. Probably the most detailed and intricate and beautiful thing that we've seen since, I don't know, maybe ever in the MCU. To be perfectly honest, it is astounding, the level and amount of detail that went into this. Especially for a TV show, this, because if you look on the DC side of things with the CW, the CGI and the detail, they're on the lower end, I would say. And I've watched a few of the shows, and there are one or two I enjoy. I'm enjoying Superman and Lois, which is streaming now, but for the most part, the CW shows come nowhere near to the quality of Marvel shows that we're looking at right now. But Loki, knocking it out of the park. This is an amazing series. It's hilarious. It's crazy. It melts your mind. It is the series that I didn't know I wanted or needed. But I this is amazing. I was originally super excited for Falcon and Winter Soldier. That was the main thing, because I like spy movies. I was blown out of the water by this. I was not expecting this to be so amazing. But it is. And because this is an entirely alternate universe, it's I'm not sure if it's confirmed or not. It's all but confirmed, basically, that there's going to be a season two, and that they can keep making seasons of these, which is amazing. This is not a standalone series like WandaVision, you know? And they're talking about whether or not Falcon and Winter Soldier is going to have season two, but it's debatable. People are debating, well, no, it was a single run series. So we don't really know if Falcon and Winter Soldier is still a single run series, or if I'm going to have to do a season two and watch a season two of those things. which I don't know if I'd be looking forward to or not. It's too early to tell, but I'm open to Loki. I am more than open to Loki having a second season, which is really early. We're on the second, we're on the second episode of Loki, and the sacred timeline has been bombed. This is the biggest thing ever to happen in Marvel, ever. Bigger than the snap, if you think about it. How much this has altered. It's altered the entire multiverse and created a multiverse. In the second episode of Loki, that's how bonkers and crazy and huge the show is. And I love it. It is amazing. This is an amazing show. We created the multiverse in the second episode, which, speaking of which, I can't believe I didn't see this coming, because obviously, as we've seen in trailer footage, we see like a President Loki and a DB Cooper Loki, which was our actual Loki. He did that with a prank in Thor and Heimdall, which I don't know if I mentioned in my first video, but that was hilarious. They use that in all the trailer footage. They're like, brother, you best be ready. And then it just turns out it was him saying they better catch him when he jumps out of the plane, which is hilarious. It's hilarious. Just a fun bit of comedy in the midst of the bonkers, crazy episodes that we're getting. I don't even know if Loki fits into a genre, and that is so, I don't know, fitting for Loki, because Loki doesn't really fit into anything, and neither does Loki the person doesn't really fit into anything, and neither does the genre, or the show doesn't really fit into a genre, because it's just full of so many things. Like, you get some moments that are definitely action, like when Sylvia drove I want to say it was like a pike or something. Medieval experts don't get mad at me. Javelin, maybe? I'm not sure. It was like a jousting pole through one of the Minutemen's chests. So it's definitely got some action elements. Fight scenes are amazingly choreographed. Let's see. And then it's got sci-fi bits because we go forward into the future. It's got like this weird timeless vibe. Like the TVA has things from the past and the future all combined into one. And it's got like anti-chairs. It's really, really interesting. Again, the design of the TVA is so beautiful. Anyway, what I wanted to say was this show is amazing, and it is groundbreaking for the MCU. I mean, it just created the multiverse in the second episode, and it's 15 minutes long. It is such a good show. Best show, on, best Marvel show on Disney Plus. And I love The Mandalorian, but The Mandalorian kind of follows a predictable route most of the time. This show is completely off the rails, and I could not love it more. And I'm not saying I like this more than The Mandalorian. I'm not saying I like The Mandalorian more than this. They're just two super different things. You know, it's like asking me whether I like Star Wars or Marvel better, or whether I like John Wick or, I don't know. whether I like John Wick or insert some film from the opposite of that genre. I don't know. I really stick to a very limited amount of genres. Whether I like John Wick or Seinfeld more. No, but they don't really compare. I struggled for a moment to actually find something that doesn't have an action element in it, which is kind of interesting. I guess I really mostly watch action stuff. Anyway, getting back to the episode. So it was, her overall plan was basically to create a multiverse and destroy the quote-unquote sacred timeline. And so she lures Loki and Mobius into like this futuristic grocery store right before a big tidal wave hits it. By the way, Mobius and Loki research how many huge disasters there are in the future and the past, and there are a surprising amount of them in between, I think it was like 2090 and 2021, which is really nerve-wracking. In the current MCU timeline that we usually watch, it's 2023, but the TVA, I think we all know by now, but... let's see, what was it? Time works differently in the TVA. So, sorry about that. But, yes, so TVA is kind of timeless. But they're looking at all these disasters, and it's kind of nerve-wracking, because you see in the MCU timeline how many upcoming disasters there are. Most of them dealing with like climate disasters or tidal waves and stuff like that, and I think that kind of plays into the theory of climate change a little bit. But again, I'm not entirely sure about that. And overall, just really, really cool, really interesting, really frightening, one would say. But anyway, enough. So they go to a rocks. I believe it was Rock's Cart, grocery store, which is a nod to Rocks On, which is a company that has showed up in the MCU before and is very prevalent in the comics. So it was a nice little nod to Rocks On, which is, I believe, is owned by Rocks On. And I like that they kind of kept it akin to most of the things that we would see in a grocery store nowadays. But they added a few things, and it was very realistic. They added a few things that were futuristic, like a little badge on the employees that kind of read, that had the letters go across, like, "Hello, what can I do for you today?" I think that's what it said, something to that effect. And that there was a giant There was like a giant, like, holographic statue outside. I think it was kind of reminiscent of, like, you know, those obviously didn't look anything like it, but it was a woman. But I think it was kind of reminiscent of the big, like, floppy arm things that you see at car dealerships. I don't know what you'd call those, like, inflatable. I mean, they don't really look like people. I don't know who designed that thing. But, like, this big, like, inflatable floppy things. It kind of reminds me of that in a way. Anyway, so she lures them inside, and they get split up, essentially, which horror movie 101, never split up, stay together in a group, there's strength in numbers. So Mobius goes down and checks the shelter with a couple other people. There's a quick power dispute between Mobius and I don't remember her name. Her name is literally like we have a stormtrooper situation, you know, where it's literally two letters and then a set of numbers. So I don't remember her name, but she's kind of the head Minuteman that we're focusing on. I don't know if she is any larger than the other Minutemen, but or holds a higher rank than any of the other Minutemen. But she's the one that we're kind of focusing on. She seems to be some sort of commander. And she's the one that also brought in Loki, our Loki. So she and Mobius have a quick power dispute. Also, Mobius is wearing like a little like bulletproof vest, which is interesting. I love Mobius's look in this series. I'm also a big fan of Owen Wilson's work. I don't know if you've noticed, but I'm a really big fan of his work. So Mobius looks really cool in the series. And for any of you wondering who don't know what Owen Wilson looks like, and is the first Owen Wilson thing you've seen somehow, or maybe you just watched the MCU, which is, that's okay too. You can do that. Nothing's stopping you. Owen Wilson is blonde in real life, but they had him go gray in this series, which was interesting. He's not a natural gray, a natural gray. People, their hair turns gray. His hair is not turned gray. He's not that old, but they had him do that for some reason in the series, which is interesting. Also, Mobius meets with Judge Renslayer before they go in the whole grocery store fiasco. And this meeting, it's pretty standard, but there were a couple things I wanted to point out. Number one, we keep seeing the middle timekeeper, the one in the middle, and we keep zooming in on him, and at the end of the credits, we zoom in on him. So it's obvious something crazy is going to be going down. And I know my Kang theory about how he is controlling all of this behind the scenes, like the little man in Wizard of Oz, the guy behind the curtain, and how he is kind of behind the timekeepers and the TVA, and they're all crafting the MCU timeline so he can, so it's going to be perfect just for him to jump in and conquer it. Which, I mean, to be honest, that they're kind of doing. They killed off Iron Man, and Cap went back into time, and now he's old, but still not dead, because they would never say that definitively, or never say what happened to him in Falcon and Winter Soldier, because that was too big of a detail for them to, you know. I'm not talking about Falcon and Winter Soldier. I'm talking about Loki, which is an awesome series. I'm talking about Loki. So, I don't know why I feel the need to keep doing an Owen Wilson voice. I'm sorry. Another interesting detail about their meeting is that Mobius mentions that he doesn't remember putting those rings there. There's like rings from where he left his cup before. And Judge Renslayer says it was from him. And he says, that's funny, I don't remember leaving those rings there, or something to that effect. In the comics, Mobius and Mobius has multiple clones of himself, and it makes me think, if you're familiar with the comics and Mobius, then you would know Mobius is an existing character, by the way. You would know that he has multiple clones, and I'm having this kind of inkling that seeing as how Loki was kind of adopted into the TVA and has become a TVA agent almost. I know he's a variant and he's not given full access and stuff like that, but he's on like a probation of sorts. But it seems like it's possible that all of the TVA agents could be variants themselves. And just something I'm throwing out there. Again, probably don't hold me to it, just like the Kang theory, don't hold me to it. It's kind of bonkers, but it's something that it just kind of occurred to me. I was thinking, I was watching the episode and I was like, is there any chance that they could all be variants and they just have variants recruited into the TVA that, you know, proves that they're trustworthy? And guys, I have a sneaking suspicion that maybe 20 minutes after this is recorded, someone at New Rockstars, whether it's MT or Eric Voss or someone, maybe they'll do a Rogue Theory episode, someone will pitch this same idea and people online will be like, oh, look, he copied. Because my podcast will get posted probably like the day after I record this. But no, I haven't copied this theory from anyone else. I get a lot of criticism about that. No, I'm not copying these things. They're just common trains of thought. I mean, like, I wasn't copying anyone when I said Sam would probably end up with a shield at the end of Falcon and Winter Soldier. Some of these things are just common observations that more than one person can have without copying each other, you know? Anyway. So they get lured into the grocery store. That's gonna be the weirdest sentence I've ever had to say. The TVA agent and the Asgardian god get lured into the grocery store. Very weird thing to say. Where they have a brief power dispute, and we meet Sylvia, who has the ability, and it seems like all Lokis have different abilities, and we got a sneak peek at this when they were briefing the team. We saw a couple different Lokis, like it looked like a Hulk Loki and a like a soccer Loki, I want to say, as well as a like original Norse Loki. He's wearing like some Norse armor, and then another Loki that was just blue. So Loki has kind of embraced his frost giant side, and all of these Lokis seem to have different powers and abilities. Like, for example, Sylvia's is that she is able to transfer between her consciousness between bodies. And some people are saying, well, maybe Sylvia isn't actually, Lady Loki, as they were calling her, isn't actually, she just swapped herself into another person's body. And that's the body that she's chosen to stay in. That wasn't necessarily the body she was born in. I don't agree with that. Because, again, as we see in the credits, her name is Sylvia Lofty Daughter. So it seems like she was born Sylvia Lofty Daughter into that body. So it seems like that's what she... She was born a female. So it's a variant version where Loki, instead of being born a male, was born a female, and Loki wasn't Loki. Loki was Sylvia. Correct me if I'm wrong. I may be entirely wrong here, but just a tiny nitpick. Sylvia doesn't seem very, I don't know, Asgardian. You get Thor, you get Frigga, you get Odin. I know those were all original Norse gods' names. I'm well-versed in Norse mythology and Greek mythology and a number of mythologies that I had a passion for when I was like 5 or 6 for whatever reason. Anyway, Sylvia doesn't seem very Norse. And I could be wrong. And maybe Sylvia originally came from Norse culture. And I am just talking... and I just don't know what I'm talking about. But it just seems a little bit odd to me. That's all. Anyway, Sylvia Lofty Daughter. So she reveals herself in the end, and she passes all of the reset charges that she's been collecting through these time doors that she set up with all of the keypads that she's been stealing, because at each ambush that she set that she gets, she steals the reset charge and the little touchpad thing that the TVA agents have. And so she uses those to bomb the sacred timeline. And a bunch of people are asking, well, why would she do this? I know exactly why. And I can tell you in a second. Sylvia escapes through a portal, and she leaves it open in case Loki wants to follow, looking behind her. Loki had revealed that to her that he was going to betray the TVA and try and kill the timekeepers and take control of the TVA. Which, knowing Loki, could be entirely possible, or it could just be another thing that he's telling another version of Loki, because, I mean, we could go several levels here. It's Loki. He's probably lying or tricking us somehow, because that's just what he does, and that's what he does best. Anyway, so she leaves it open for Loki to possibly follow suit. And behind him comes Mobius and Agent TVA, the TVA agent that I keep forgetting her name because it's very, very hard to remember. A series of numbers and letters together. I don't know why my brain just doesn't want to remember that for some reason. And they come running behind her, and they think, and here's the thing, I'm not entirely certain, but it seems like they think Loki was the one that betrayed them and escaped. I'm not entirely sure on that, so don't hold me to it, but it's kind of seemed that way to me. I could be totally wrong, but they didn't see Sylvia, they just saw Loki step through the portal, so it seems like they thought Loki knocked the TVA agent out and then escaped through the portal, and somehow, well, yet as of yet, they don't know that Sylvia bombed the sacred timeline. So, again, it just kind of seemed that way to me. I'm probably wrong on that, though. So Loki jumps in the portal and follows Sylvia. Sylvia. I'm saying that right. Is that how you say it? Sylvia? Sylvia. I think that's how you say it. Maybe I'm mispronouncing that. I'm just going to be mispronouncing it throughout the whole podcast. So Sylvia follows the portal and Loki follows after. Mobius and the TVA agent arrive too late and the portal closes. That's when the episode ends. And we go through the credits, of course, where we see Sylvia's paper. We see a bunch of other Easter eggs that don't really lead us anywhere just yet. And we close in on the center timekeeper, the one in the middle, which is framed behind Judge Renslayer. In the comics, Judge Renslayer has a relationship with this guy. So I'm thinking either possibly he like broke away from the TVA, or he was corrupted by power and worked against the TVA. Something's going on with that guy. And I really want to call it so that when we get the reveal, I'm like, I totally called it, but I just can't figure out what it is just yet. Maybe that is Kang. Because we know there are multiple versions of Kang, so maybe that's Kang himself. It does look a little bit like Jonathan Majors, it's a very crude statue. All of them have been so far. It's made out of wood, and the facial features aren't exactly defined. But it could be Jonathan Majors, who's going to be playing Kang the Conqueror and Ant-Man and the Wasp: Quantumania. So we know Kang is coming to the MCU. This could kind of be a build up there a little bit, I guess. Kang the Conqueror, maybe. So that's one theory. Another theory is that the timekeepers are all fabricated, that there is no real, that they don't exist, and it's just Kang pulling the curtains, or pulling the strings behind the curtains. And Mobius says in this episode, by the way, shortly after, he says that he doesn't remember leaving that ring, which means possibly there are other Mobius clones going around somewhere, that analyst on the side that he was talking about. But possibly it could mean that Judge Renslayer is running the deception with Kang. And I know exactly what Sylvia's plan is and why she bombed the sacred timeline. I'll tell you right after this ad break. And we are back from that message from our sponsors. Thanks for listening to that. It really helps me produce the podcast, and I appreciate all of you guys who sat through that. And I mean, I guess there's a possibility you might have just skipped ahead. I don't know if Spotify allows you to do that, or actually, I don't know. There's only like 23% of my listeners on Spotify. Anyway, there are a bunch of you on Pocket Casts and some just on some on Anchor, which it's also available on Anchor. It's because they sponsored me, so my podcast is available to listen to on Anchor. It's available on Pocket Casts, Breaker, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Everywhere, basically. Everywhere you can listen to podcasts, pretty much. It is pretty much everywhere. So thanks to all of you guys out there. Most of my audience is in North America, but I also have a bunch of people in like Germany and a surprising range of countries all over the world, which thank you guys for listening. You know, if you are somewhere else, I just want to let you guys know. Thanks for listening. Thanks for somehow finding my podcast. I don't know if the link is still in the description, but there's supposed to be a link in the description where you guys can leave an audio message. If you guys would like to leave an audio message and let me know how you found the podcast, that would be great. You know, I would really appreciate that, because I'm trying to figure out how to get the podcast out to as many people as possible. Side note, though, obviously, you guys don't really want to hear about that. What you guys want to hear about is what Sylvia's plan is. So what Sylvia was planning is she bombed the sacred timeline, created a multiverse as a distraction. That's how bonkers the show is. This, the biggest thing that ever happened in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the creation of a multiverse, the bombing of a sacred timeline that we have been following, was a diversion, a distraction. That's the level that the show is on. Bigger than the snap, bigger than anything we've seen before. Bigger than Endgame, for goodness sakes, because Endgame only made a little bit of timeline manipulation, and they fixed it right away, which is why the Avengers weren't prosecuted, by the way, because they fixed it, and because the TVA, the timekeeper, said it was meant to happen. In case you were wondering about that, Sylvia's plan is to attack the timekeepers and the TVA itself head-on, and you see in the end, you see the Minutemen all going to the portals to the various locations which she's lured them away to. And this is exactly what Sylvia wants. She wants them to go to those locations and try and fix it so she can attack the TVA at its center while there's no one there. Judge Renslayer knows that this has happened, and so she prepares her baton, and she's not heading down the portal. Some people thought she was heading down the hallway. I think most people thought she was heading down the hallway, to enter the portals and try and fix it herself, but she's getting ready to guard, and I think she's going to where the timekeepers are themselves, or where the curtain is, where Kang is behind it, you know, whatever, doing his thing. She's going to the room where the timekeepers are, whether they exist or not, to guard them. I think that's what's going on, because I think she's trying to strike at the heart of the TVA itself. So it seems like that's what's happening. I think Judge Renslayer is going to be protecting the TVA. Whether she goes to the timekeepers, which is probably the most likely thing, to be perfectly honest. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see this in episode 3 of the series, because we just created the multiverse in episode 2. So really nothing is too crazy for this show, I don't think. Except maybe the main character dying. We kind of have to keep the main character. Other than that, I don't think anything is too crazy for the show, which is one of the reasons why it's so fun to theorize about it, because any number of crazy bonker things could happen. Bonkers. I said bonker, like singular, bonker, bonkers. Anyway, sorry. Any number of things could happen. Anything could really happen. And that's so much of the fun of this series, is that it's anything goes, you know? You never know what to, we just don't know what to expect, you know? This show is glorious. And it keeps you guessing. It really does. And I'm sorry, but I just have to point this out. I totally called last episode that there was something sinister about the timeline reset charges, and that they would probably be They'd probably erase or disintegrate the entire timeline and everything around them. And Loki points this out, and it turns out I was correct. It erases that timeline and basically resets it back to the original timeline. So it erases that timeline, that branch timeline, completely, and everyone in it, which is just crazy because that's larger than, you know, anything Thanos ever did. He snapped away half the universe, which was apparently supposed to happen. And the Eternals did nothing, but that's something else for another time, another topic for another time. Anyway, so the I think the craziest thing that's going to happen in this series I don't know. There's no way for anyone to know what the craziest thing in this series will be, except for the directors and the people who created it. I really don't know what's going to happen next. There's definitely something going on with the central timekeeper. I'm guessing that either might be Kang or, I'm calling it now. Obviously Judge Renslayer has some sort of relationship with him. So I'm calling it. I might be wrong on this. I might be right. But I'm calling it now. Judge Renslayer has some sort of relationship, whether romantic or just a partnership or something, with the middle timekeeper. And I mean, I think that's all I really have for predictions this episode. I think Sylvia is going to attack the heart of the TVA. I think that's right where we're going to pick up. Or more. This episode was like 53 minutes long. We've got 50 minutes or more awaiting us in episode 3, and I for one could not be more excited. We do not know what to expect. I have no idea what's going to happen in the coming episode except for those two things. I don't think we're going to see the timekeeper's revealed or her. I think that's something we're going to see later in the series. But again, I didn't think we were going to see the bombing of the sacred timeline, you know, ever. Which was kind of foolish to come to think of it, because they were establishing all of this about how to disturb the sacred timeline, what would happen if it was disturbed. So they were clearly setting that up as you look back on it now. But I don't know. I think we might all just be missing something that's going to pop up on us, or maybe we just really don't know what to expect, you know? It's very difficult to predict what Loki's going to do, the person or the show, but all we can do is our best. I am just continuously quoting the MCU right here, just shamelessly quoting it, and it's not entirely on purpose. So overall, this episode was amazing. I don't know if I liked it any better than the first. I think they're all equal. They're all equally amazing and all equally good. The first was a lot of exposition, but knowing me, I love exposition in the series. I love lore, because that means we can base theories off of it. That little Miss Minutes video was super helpful. And, holy cow, that reminds me, Miss Minutes. Miss Minutes showed up in this episode, in real life, not real life, in, not in a video, in, like, the actual TVA headquarters. It's like a hologram somehow, but it wasn't light emitting from anything, so it was like this weird, like, I don't know. We don't really know what Miss Minutes is, and all the buttons on the timekeepers, like, the little things, the little, like, touchpads, and the elevator and the button in the credits, they all have little things for Miss Minutes. What does Miss Minutes do? Like, I feel like it's gotta be some kind of crazy thing. Like, maybe she's in, like, an interrogation person. And I mean, she was on the poster for Loki. So she obviously has to play a big role in the series, but maybe she's like, maybe she's behind the timekeepers. Who knows? I don't know. But she's got some big role to play in the series, and it's very hard to figure out what it is. She's voiced by Tara Strong, by the way, if any of you guys were wondering. And at the end of the first episode, her voice plays over the and if you watch till the end, which I do because that's just who I am, past the number of people who've worked on it and in other countries and on other languages, you get this little sound bit from her, and her voice plays, and she goes, let's see, what was it that she said? It was something to the effect of, thanks for visiting the Wow. Yeah, no, I'm not even going to try to. Thanks for visiting the TVA. Don't hesitate to let us know how we're doing. Something like that. Thanks for visiting the TVA. Don't hesitate to let us know how we're doing. Yeah, it was something like that. Thanks for visiting the TVA. Don't hesitate to let us know how we're doing. It was something like that. Sorry, I've never tried to do a Miss Minutes impression before, so that was totally off the hook. Thanks for visiting the TVA. Don't hesitate to let us know how we're doing. Yeah, it was better before. Anyway, I'm going to stop doing that now. Miss Minutes, something's going on with her. Something is going on with Miss Minutes. So, keep your eye on Miss Minutes. That's all I'm doing. And you hear like a little footsteps when Loki swings his Mobius' jet ski magazine at her. Which, by the way, Mobius' love of jet skis is amazing. If we don't see Mobius on a jet ski by the end of this, going, wow, I am going to, I'm going to do nothing, actually, but I'm going to be very sad. I'm going to do nothing, but I will be sad if we don't see Mobius on a jet ski going, wow, you know, this is really fun, by the end of the series, because, Mobius' love of jet skis is hilarious and so classically, I don't know, it seems like a classic thing that a character that Owen Wilson plays would do. It's, again, I can't say classic Owen Wilson necessarily, because I don't know if that's what Owen Wilson is like in real life. I don't know anything about Owen Wilson in real life, but his characters that he plays, he usually plays a very specific type of character. Like Tom Holland always plays young, geeky kid in most movies, except Cherry, which I haven't seen. I've seen the trailer, but the trailer was amazing. But it doesn't seem like he was playing a young geeky kid in that one. Anyway, Tom Holland has a number of roles that he does, and they're all pretty similar. I mean, you go from one of his roles to like his Spider-Man, which is geeky, young geeky kid, geeky teenager. Holy cow, geeky! I cannot say that for some reason. But yes, Tom Holland has a certain, I mean, each actor usually has a certain amount of things they play. And so that's why it's so respected when you see someone who's known for doing something go out of their comfort zone and do something that they've never done before, or act on something they've never done before. And that's why people say, oh, wow, I mean, that guy's got range. Like, I mean, I'm struggling to come up with an example here, but it's like seeing like this guy who does constant action, or Dave Bautista. I don't know if that really counts, because he was a WWE fighter, and then you see him act and he's a really good actor. He's not a really good actor, but he's a good actor. He's a really good actor for a WWE fighter. I'll give him that. He's hilarious as Drax. And sadly, he's leaving the MCU after Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. So that doesn't bode well for Drax. But and James Gunn is leaving too, which I'm not a fan of the guy, but he does a good job with the movies. His movies are, I mean, the Guardians of the Galaxy movies and the Captain America franchise are my favorite movies in the entire MCU. Which Loki might be taking that, might be added to that list, because Loki is an amazing show and I'm really enjoying it. Loki might be added to that list, I'm not gonna lie. So when it so when we see Miss Minutes and she's talking to Loki, getting back on the Miss Minutes train, Loki asks her, "Are you a recording?" Or he's asking her if she was. I think he said, "Are you a recording?" Or a recording, or like here in real life, or a hologram, or something like that, something to that effect. Which I'm saying a lot in this episode. I also say is like my it's my trademark basically at this point. I've said it in all of my I've said that in all of my podcasts unintentionally, of course. That's just kind of the person I am. These things are entirely unscripted. There's no scripting for any of these. There's a little bit of scripting for the WandaVision ones. I just had a piece of thing with all the characters' names written down, and like stuff that I found as I was watching, I would write down little Easter eggs. I kind of lost that with Falcon and Winter Soldier because there wasn't really much of a need to do that, because that series lost all reason, and there wasn't, Easter eggs didn't really lead anywhere. Same thing with WandaVision. But I might pick it up again for Loki, because Loki actually delivers on their Easter eggs. What do you know? I think I'm pretty sure this is being helmed by one of the Rick and Morty, someone who also directs or writes for Rick and Morty. But that show is known for its attention to its crazy amount of attention to detail, which shows in this series. The series is, and I've said this before in the episode, it's just so amazing. The story is wonderful. The visuals are outstanding. I really am gonna make my screensaver just a screenshot from the episode. It is absolutely amazing. Getting off track here, Miss Minutes. We hear her. She answers sort of both. All right, I really gotta stop doing that, because that is just not good. That is not good at all. I am so sorry. So sorry you had to listen to that. So she answers kind of both, and that's an intriguing answer. So she's kind of a recording and kind of existing in real life in real time. That really gave us no answer. That gave us more questions than answers, and I think that gave Loki more questions than answers, because you see his face kind of make the same expression I did, and I think a lot of people did, because essentially, what does that even mean? Yeah. And then Mobius walks up, and asks Loki if that's his jet ski magazine. He's very territorial of that. Apparently jet skis are what gives him the drive to, you know, get out of, it's his MO to jet skis. I'm butchering it. he likes jet skis. It's kind of his motivation. And he's never gotten to ride one, and he's never gotten to be on one or touch one, because you see a TVA agent going by on a jet ski. That's got to disturb the timeline. Which, I mean, honestly, I don't know how much that would disturb the timeline. I mean, you go out to sea, grab a jet ski from like a branch timeline or something, go out to sea where there's no one around, and just ride on a jet ski. I mean, obviously they would have to charter a mission to do all of that, and it would be a big waste of time and resources just for someone to be happy for a little bit. But my man Mobius needs to be happy. You know, he needs to be on a jet ski. Again, I'm saying it again. He needs to be on a jet ski before the end of the series. If not, then I will be very sad, and they will need to put it in season 2 when that comes out. Again, visuals are amazing. Storyline is amazing. Pay attention to the details. I know we don't usually need to do this in Disney Plus shows, but or Disney Plus Marvel shows, because details are important in The Mandalorian. Mandalorian and Loki are both very well-written shows. And The Mandalorian is coming out in December, so we have a long wait for that. I mean, not too long. It was about a year. It's about a year's wait. in between seasons, which is pretty good. Pretty good. Anyway, Loki. Beautiful visuals, amazing story, amazing writing. Pay attention to the details. We don't know what to expect. The show is bonkers. It is crazy. It is like nothing the MCU has ever done before, and I am loving it. Again, I think Sylvie is headed for either the Timekeepers or the heart of the TVA, and Renslayer is there to stop her. We're going to see some sort of fight scene between the two of them, I'm imagining. And then they're going to have to go and send Loki and Mobius to go full damage control on each variant. And it's going to be really fun because we're going to see Tom Hiddleston fighting Tom Hiddleston. And we're going to see that President Loki. And we're going to see that King Loki, where it looks like Thor and Odin were killed in battle or something. Actually, if you look at where they were sent back, one of them was sent to Asgard, 2003, so right before a little while before the events of the Thor movie. So maybe that ends up like killing Thor and Odin, perhaps, or ends up killing Thor in battle. And again, we're still not entirely sure what those reset charges did to the timeline. To cause such crazy breaks and branch timelines, but maybe it killed Thor and possibly Odin, and that's how Loki got to the throne in that little clip that we see of Loki sitting on the throne. Maybe that's what that variant did, and that's what all these variants are created by. There are a bunch of locations that show up on Renslayer's screen. I'm sure someone will do a breakdown of that. Probably, honestly, New Rockstars has probably done a breakdown of that, or probably will do a breakdown of that. I haven't checked out their channel in a while. Probably have that up like 3 minutes after the episode came out. So go watch that if you want to find out all the locations. I don't have those on me. Sorry. But there were a lot of locations. The one that caught my eye was Asgard, and then there was another one that said Ego. There was Ego, so Ego, the Living Planet, back in like the 11th, in the 1100s. So I don't know what that's about. I don't know what that would do. But again, I guess we just don't know what to expect. Thanks for tuning in. And I am more excited for episode 3 than ever. This show is bonkers. It's crazy. It's insane. And most of all, it is unpredictable. Thanks for tuning in, guys. I'll see you next time.